go to Proverbs chapter 5, continue our series on the book of Proverbs. When we looked at Proverbs chapter 5, the places of overlap that we had were verses 1 and verses 15. And so we're going to kind of focus on those. So we had one that was Proverbs 1 and 2, and one that was Proverbs 15 through 17. So we're going to look at that. So let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 5 real quick. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy foundation be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we've read. Now, Lord, we're only looking at a few verses here today on this chapter, but there's so much to be learned there. And Lord, help us to realize that the ways of man are before the Lord, and that you ponder all our goings. So Lord, we pay attention to what we're doing in this life. And Lord, we just ask your help this morning to understand these verses we're going to look at and learn something and grow. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you look at Proverbs chapter 5, there is a overall focus of that chapter, and that has to do primarily with men committing fornication and adultery. All right, and when he talks about a strange woman, he's not talking about somebody that's weird. He's talking about someone that is outside of your rightful relationship with. In other words, somebody that you're not supposed to have a relationship with. And when we talk about that, and when we look at that, and I'm going to make this a little broader because I'm not just going to focus on that, but I wanted to bring it up because notice that even though we could say the same thing about women going after strange men, but the Bible puts the emphasis on the man, doesn't it? And that tells me two things. That tells me, well, first of all, we already know that man is supposed to be the spiritual leader, and therefore his behavior is to set the example. That's one. And two, man is particularly susceptible to this sin. So men, pay attention. And I can say without a doubt, that, and probably every man in this room has at one time or another been tempted or presented with an opportunity to fornication or adultery. I remember, I've had times where I had a woman come up to my door at our house when we were living over in Ocean Springs, and she came up to the door and she wanted to walk right in, and she was all drunk, and she had her blouse and everything was open, exposing everything. She's at my front door. The kids had been sick, and I let Sister Denise go to church that night because she'd been missing church because the kids had been sick. And all of a sudden, this woman came over, and she knocked on my door, and there she is. And thankfully, I had the door locked because this same woman had walked in our house two or three times, and didn't even bother to knock, and she just walked in. Well, she couldn't walk in. She knocked. And so I shut the door in her face. I was out soul winning one time, and me and another fella were out soul winning, and we walked up and knocked on her door, and they were having some type of wild party inside, evidently, because the woman that came to the door had a glass of wine, and she was in a see-through negligee or whatever you call it, and invited us in. We gave her a gospel tract and turned around and left. That's a good lesson about having at least two people when you go knocking on doors, by the way. I've had times where women, when I'm at work, have, gotten a little touchy-feely, a little too touchy-feely to be comfortable. And stuff like that. I had, one woman come up and just start massaging my shoulders one time. I had to get up and tell her stop. And I'd make sure, because if I'd have just allowed that to go on, everybody would have seen it. And what would have been the testimony? Oh, I was just trying to be nice. I don't need that kind of niceness. I could give you a lot of different things that have happened from time to time. And so the reality is, and need to understand that men, we can be particularly susceptible to this type of sin, to fornication and adultery. Pay attention. When the Bible spends this much time talking to young men about this, we ought to pay attention. And it doesn't mean it's just young men. Just because the emphasis is here on the man doesn't let the ladies off the hook, by the way. Sin is sin regardless of who does it, right? But God wants us to understand that. And by the way, I just simply say this about that. If you go into the book of Exodus, and we go to the commandment, he said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. All right? And, if a woman is not married to you, and this is the problem with our culture. We have a culture steeped in fornication and adultery. But if a woman is not married to you, and you commit fornication, and then you leave and go find you somebody else, eventually, she's most likely going to become another man's wife, isn't she? And if she's another man's wife, if she's potentially another man's wife, why are you committing fornication with somebody's wife? potential wife down the line. You know, and but we've become so cavalier about sexual immorality that that sounds totally foreign to people nowadays. But the reality and the truth is that the strange woman is somebody you have no right being with. And that's just the simple truth. And then the other issues about the strange woman is the simple fact that there are women out there who give themselves over to that type of life. And we have a culture, by the way, that is pushing young ladies to be unchaste, and young men, but particularly young ladies. So that's something to think about. But when we look at this passage, you look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding." And then the second verse says, "That thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge." And then he talks about the lips of a strange woman. He goes into that narrative. But the plea at the beginning is something that once again applies to just about everything. God speaking to us as his children, as his sons, and he says, "Attend unto my wisdom." You know, to attend to something in this deal, if you were to look in the dictionary, it would say something to the effect of to direct the attention to fix your mind upon, to give heed to give regard to, or to regard. And we look at that, and that's what he's saying, attend unto my wisdom. When you attend to something, you spend time thinking about it. You spend time hearing, and you listen. And in the second part of that, he says, "Bow down thine ear to my understanding." All right, to bow down means to humble ourselves, right? If we bow down to something, we humble ourselves. He says, "Bow down thine ear," right? To my understanding. In other words, to bow down our ear to his understanding would be to humble ourselves to listen. Now, listening is not just hearing. Listening is to hearing like looking is to seeing. Looking's a choice. Listening's a choice. And God is saying you need to humble yourself to choose to hear, to listen to what I have to say about this subject. And that ought to be something that we would. And once again, God deals with us as sons, and he calls us his children. And he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear unto my to my understanding." And then the second thing he wants us to do is, he wants us to, the result of that, he said, "That thou mayest regard discretion." That you would have some regard to discretion, that it would become a valuable thing to you. That you would have an esteem for it, if you would. Discretion, and the best definition of discretion that I was able to find that fits this context is prudence or knowledge in prudence, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution, nice discernment and judgment directed by circumspection, and primarily regarding one's own conduct. In other words, having that discretion is being able to look at a situation, judge it rightly, and behave accordingly. That is discretion. It's an understanding that you have. And that's what God wants us to have. If we attend unto his wisdom, and if we bow down our ear to his understanding, if we say that God's way is the right way, then we will gain discretion. that gives us something in reserve, so when we meet a circumstance, we can approach it properly and we can behave accordingly. And so that's something we need to do, and it's important that we do that, because that causes not just a benefit to ourselves, but it also benefits others. He said the other half of that, verse 2, he said, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. You know, we not only pay attention to proper discretion in a given situation, but we're able to pass that knowledge on to other people, to our children, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors. It becomes part of our testimony as a Christian, doesn't it? And so that's the whole point of that. And then when you put that in the context of that entire chapter, it becomes extremely important for instruction in that regard. And good and proper discretion will keep you with a good and proper reputation in regarding those matters. And you know, I can attest to that. You know, I've had times where women have approached me and want me to take them somewhere. We've had neighbors come over. One of our neighbors came over one time, and her husband were having marital problems. And she came over, and she wanted me to take her to the grocery store. And I said, Sister Denise will be here in about an hour, and she'll take you. And she said, well, why can't you take me? I said, because I'm not going to be seen in a vehicle with another woman. She got all mad and upset and indignant and angry about it, and said, what kind of woman do you think I am? I said, it really doesn't matter what kind of woman you are. I said, the bottom line is, people see me riding around in a car with somebody who's not my wife, and I'm a pastor, particularly, it's going to start talk. And you've already got marital problems, and you don't need that talk, and I'm trying to pastor a church, and I don't need that talk. She went away in a huff, got mad, because I told her that. It doesn't make any difference. There are certain things that I have done, and it's not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Obviously, being a pastor, having to be an example, makes a big difference, but every Christian is supposed to be an example to the world, aren't they? I'm supposed to be an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. All right, but we're all supposed to be an example of believers to the world, right? So we look at that from that regard. So there is discretion, there is knowledge, there is understanding. And I've been able to pass that what I learned from studying the scriptures and things like that, I've been able to pass that on to other men, which has helped them. It's helped some people repair their relationships. It's helped some people preserve their relationships by not making a major error. And so there's a lot of different things. You said, what if it's an emergency? Well, then you got the answer. There's an emergency. But I don't think an emergency is where you're just sitting there riding along chit-chat and going to the grocery store. That's not an emergency, is it? You know? And if it was an emergency, I need this now. Give me the list of what you need. I'll go get it for you. You know? There's always a right way to work around that. I'm just using that as an example. But it may be where you're at. I had one time when I was working for a company over in Goshen at the time, and we had an office there, and the office there was just two people. It was just me and another man in that office. Well, the man that was in the office with me, he got another job offer. He went somewhere else. And I told them, and their idea was that they had a woman that wanted to move closer to this area, and she wanted to move down that office. It would have been just me and that woman in the office. And I basically told him, I said, I can't do that. I've had them ask me to travel with a woman. No, I can't do that either. And they're like, why can't you do that? I said, because. And I went through and explained it, and they hemmed and hawed and got all mad, but there wasn't anything they could do about it. And the Lord blessed that behavior, and I kept my job and everything else. And God's been good in that regard to me. But, you know, you take a stand. And in this day and age, if you say you don't want to be alone with a woman, boy, they get all up in arms. Wasn't very long ago, they got upset with a man because they got upset with the vice president because he didn't go places alone with a woman. And I say, hallelujah! He has more sense than all of them put together. You know, but they didn't like that, and so at that time, Vice President Pence, he got into all kind of trouble, and there have been other people who've gotten in trouble because they don't have business meetings and business lunches and everything alone with a woman. It's like that. But the bottom line is, if somebody sees somebody with some woman other than their wife, what happens? They start talking, don't they? So it's just common sense when you really think about it, if you look at human nature. But that type of wisdom is important. So that's just using that example, but that idea can be applied to every aspect of our life. If we attend unto His wisdom and bow down our ear to His understanding, we humble ourselves to listen, we fix our mind upon that wisdom, if we gain discretion, and we become a blessing to others, not just ourselves. And then we go down to Proverbs chapter 5 verse 15, and he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Alright, and notice what he talks about there. He talks about that. Let's go ahead and read the whole thing about that. He says this. He says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be thine own, only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. All right, so if we use that in the context of a marital relationship, we're talking about having that intimacy with that one woman, and don't be out to take, but rather to give, to have a family, to raise up children. Take that wisdom that we talked about in verse 1, that discretion, that knowledge going out to others, and then those children being raised in the right way with a father and a mother, one man, one woman for life. And raising their children godly, they go out and become a blessing to others. If they learn and they attend to the truth in that regard. And so that idea, that's the model, that's what we hope for. And you don't want to have your children in this day and age. You got so many of these people that are now role models, right? They're role models, they're athletes, or they're singers or actors or whatever the case may be, and they're sitting out there, and they've got children by multiple women, and you have women that have children by multiple men. And what has that done for our society? No good. No good. But this passage of Scripture, that verse 15 and 16, That can be applied to covetousness in any regard. Because that's what they're talking about here is covetousness. All right. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. In other words, don't take what belongs to somebody else. We go all the way through there. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor, working with his hands, the thing that is right, so that he may have to give to him that needeth. Right? We talked about Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Okay? And then when we get to the scripture, if we look at the scripture up here, Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because we put something before God. Covetousness is the hub of all sin. People steal because they desire something that's not rightfully theirs, right? People commit adultery or fornication because they desire something that's not rightfully theirs. And they put that, their desire, before God. We could go down all the way through that. Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have said. As ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can be content because God is going to stay with us. And the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain, right? So if we're content with such things we have, that's there. And then 1 Corinthians 6:18, relating fornication to covetousness, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's that picture there, but that idea of all those things, covetousness is at the root of them. And we don't need to be covetous. And most of our ideas of what we raise our children to, we raise our children, you know, we like to have this idea of liberty, and we can have liberty and freedom, but the goal is to have that liberty and freedom is that everybody would pay attention to God's wisdom and act accordingly in that regard and do things the right way as far as developing those relationships a biblical way. But our culture is like, well, everybody goes out and they you know, all the girls in school, they want this one boy. They all want this one boy. They all want this one girl, right? You know? And our children are raised up to be covetous when it comes to their relationships. Not seeking the will of God, but just what I want. And then when it becomes what I want, then it becomes, how can I get what I want? And so when we look at this passage, we could talk about the relationships, but it can really apply to anything. Quit looking over your neighbor's fence. Quit looking at your neighbor's life and saying, oh, I wish I had that. You know how you can tell that you're not covetous? Is when other people get blessed and you're happy for them. You're happy for them. You're thankful to God that He blessed somebody. Isn't it amazing? We want God to bless the whole world, right? In theory, anyway. Until somebody else gets a blessing we don't get, and then get something we don't get, and all of a sudden something's wrong because I didn't get it. God's not fair. Now, God gives us what we need. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we ought to understand something. When it comes to what's going on, there are factors that go into it. A lot of the blessings we have in this world are simply because of where we live. Did you know that? And isn't it funny that the places where we have the most abundant are often the most covetous? And America is filled with covetousness. But the reality and the truth of the matter is that even though much of what we have to deal with in a given place has to do with where we live in a very affluent country, which we're steadily trying to run into the ground financially, but and the chickens will come home to roost on that, and we may be, you know, we're sitting there talking about living like third world country. That may become a reality quicker than we think if they don't make some wise decisions. But the bottom line, as you go down, the whole idea is you also have to realize that God has a relationship with each of us, and what we have and what God gives us is what we need. God's not ignorant of what you have or don't have. He knows. And it's not wrong to seek the Lord for what you believe you need. What is wrong is if you don't get your way, throwing a little temper tantrum and getting mad at God because God didn't give you what you want. Because what you want may not be what you need. That's why he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. So while we look at this whole chapter and we see the focus is having to do with the relationship with men and women and fornication and adultery, but still those same principles apply across the board when it comes to listening to God's wisdom, to humbling ourselves to listen, to hear, to regard that wisdom, to getting the discretion we need to live in our life, to work the way we should, and make the right decisions and have the right behavior. And then also the idea of getting away from covetousness, which is idolatry. So that's what we have from that section. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the lesson today. Father, we thank you for everything you've given. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to take this to heart. And Lord, we just thank you for each one that's here today. And we ask again your blessing and your healing upon those that are sick and that are having difficulty that we mentioned earlier, for those that are traveling in this weather today. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us the way you do and providing for us the way you do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.